Okay, I've got 1:34. We'll go ahead and call this special meeting of Rail County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. We'll begin this afternoon with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we come before you asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we're most especially thankful to be able to gather and assemble here peacefully today under your watchful eye. Lord, we ask that you watch over, guide, and protect our first responders here on earth as they face the challenges of weather patterns and hostilities and conflicts throughout the world. And Lord, we most especially ask that you place your hand of wisdom on this court so we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this afternoon? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court?
Judge, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me on, I'm not talking loud enough.
That helps.
Okay. All right. I will try to speak up. Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is the purpose of today's meeting, which is a fiscal year 2026 budget development workshop. We had some previous meeting with county departments. And we didn't quite make the connection with the JP's office out of Coppers Cove. So I've asked Judge Gwynn if and gracious for his time today to come talk about his budget proposal.
Thank you, Judge. May I sit in?
Yes, please, please.
Judge Bill, our commissioners, good to see all of you again.
Yes, sir.
These are my new hearing aids, so I'm not listening to Hank Williams. But I need these for not getting any younger. I know you appreciate brevity, and so I'll be brief. But basically, what we're asking for, and this is the only thing that we requested, and we kind of made the decision to pull the trigger on this at the last minute. So that's one reason where I'm a little bit late getting here to make this presentation. And what we're asking for is our clerk, our second clerk, be made full-time. We have one full-time clerk, Tanya Sheldon, who's been with us for 23 years with county in our office. And she's very efficient and is an excellent clerk. But as things have changed, and I've been in this office for 43 years, and the responsibilities of justice of the peace and necessarily the clerks who help administer all of that or have increased exponentially over the years. And as you all well know, every 2 years when the legislature meets, one of the things they do is think of something else for the JPs to do. Most recently, the debt claim business, you know, the suit for debt has taken off. And by the way, I did have a handout. Unfortunately, I went from 2019, which is when we first had a part-time clerk working for us today. And I should have gone back farther because this has really developed over the last 18 years or so. The legislature in 2007 increased jurisdictional limits for the justice courts to, if that was when we went to, prior to that, it was $5,000 civil jurisdiction. Then it went to $10,000 in September of 2020, and or in excuse me, 2007. And in 2020, it was $20,000. So what happened was that all of the cases that used to be filed in county court law for collection of debt migrated, most all of them migrated to the justice court. I looked at an article in the Houston Chronicle this morning before I came up here. Between 80 and 90% of all of the debt cases filed in Texas are filed in justice court now. So obviously things have picked up exponentially. Prior to that, we didn't have many of those cases. We have, you know, when you had a $5,000 jurisdictional limit, the options were not there for the debt collectors to come in and sue. So, but now they do. These come in, we're still on paper down in Copper's Cove. The JPs here in Gatesville have gone to electronic filing, which we want to go to, but we feel like we don't have enough staff to transition from paper filing to electronic filing without having additional help. Well, again, what we proposed is to take the part-time position that we currently have. We have a young lady we've hired recently, and she's very bright and she's working well, but she's a trainee. And becoming a competent court clerk takes a while. They have to be there and do that for quite a while before they pretty well know the job and become completely competent. So anyway, what we're proposing is that that position be made full time, and then delete the part time position, because I don't think we will need one with, if we have one additional full time clerk. We probably should have done this several years ago. Judge Bryce and I kind of kicked the can down the road. We could get by, and there were times when we had to, you know, we had to close the office because we didn't have anybody to man the clerk's office. When the clerk, you know, wants to take vacation, we haven't had a clerk take vacation for more than 2 or 3 days at a time in 10 years because we just couldn't afford to have somebody gone for 2 weeks. Tanya's, I think she's eligible for 16 days of vacation. And then what really brought this to a head was she has had a bunch of health issues here recently. She had cancer surgery a few months ago, and she's scheduled for surgery again next week. So we're left with our part-time clerk, who's still just a trainee, and she's only authorized to work 29 hours a month, according to the auditor's office, so the treasurer's office. So we finally come to the realization that we can't delay asking for this any longer because we need two clerks full time. The clerk's office deals with all the population, that the folks that come in, they don't all exactly know what they want. They have to explain it to the clerk, and Judge Price and I cannot be the clerks. We can't be out there talking with these people. We've got other things to do. And we're not supposed to be talking to them anyway, because they may be potential litigants. And we don't want them out there telling us about their case, because that's ex parte communication, and we're, you know, potentially get us in trouble. So the clerks have to deal with all that. So we need adequate staff in order for this to work well. And I think with the addition of the second full-time position, we'll be in a pretty good shape for the foreseeable future. That's pretty much what I wanted to say. We had a little handout that I hit you all got, and you know, it shows that we've increased it, but it doesn't show the real picture, because the real picture starts prior to 2019, because this has been going on for quite a while. Historically, Copper's Cove only had one clerk in there. Norm Storm was there, and when I first came into office in 1981, there was only one clerk, as I recall. I had At one time there, Judge Smith was still the judge. He authorized one of my legal secretaries to be a part-time clerk or something. I can't remember exactly how we dealt with it. Well, we didn't have as much work to do back then as we do now. So that's our request, and I'll just leave it. I'm not going to go over the presentation. You can read that on your own time. I'll be happy to answer any questions. I'm pretty well familiar with everything that's since I've been here so long. I'm pretty well familiar with how we've dealt with this, and we have kind of had an ad hoc system because we've been short personnel for years. And I guess we can say to you we've saved the county a bunch of money because we didn't come ask for anybody. And that was our fault, problem. But now we're asking, pleading with you to give us a second full-time clerk so we can efficiently operate that office. Will benefit the county. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. If anyone has anything they would like to ask me at this time.
Don't have anything.
Okay.
That's good.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Judge, I do. There's a, because following the court prior to this has been an ongoing issue, like you said, for several years. And I believe it was in the 2016-17 timeframe is when the court authorized a new position for JPs 3 and 4. And it was originally so that that position was going to house out of 3 and 4, but then cover down on 1 and 2 if and when Ms. Sheldon needed to take some vacation or some leave time or whatever. It was a partially shared position. That individual no longer is employed with the county, and that really, to the best of my understanding, didn't really work out so well.
And Cindy, who is employed over there now, I think. I believe she still is.
Yeah, I thought that was prior to Cindy, though.
Well,
Was it? But yeah.
She came out a couple of times, but that didn't work. And then the next time we needed her, she said she didn't want to drive to Cox's Cup.
Yeah.
So kind of blew our face right there. And then one of the reasons we deferred these is because in 2019, the court authorized the part-time position. And at that time, Ms. McClendon, who had previously been full-time clerk for me and for Norman Storm and Judge Price, who had retired, indicated she'd like to come back to work part-time. And so that was like, wow, this is great. So she came back and she had some experience. She was not familiar with EDOC. She was, she was behind, but she had some basic knowledge and was able to answer questions and help out. But then she retired again earlier this year. I can't remember exactly when. And so she's gone. And so we should have been planning, and part of this is on us. We should have been planning ahead a little more, and then didn't. But that's the way it is. It is what it is. So now we're here asking for that. So.
So my only the because I try to keep things equitable. I don't think things are always fair, but I try to keep them equitable. Tanya is paid considerably more than other court clerks at that level. And I think the previous assumption was that, well, she's doing more because you are saving because we don't have that second position. So my question becomes, how do we address equity with her pay structure? Because she is making considerably more.
But I do know some of what you're saying is correct. We called Randy to find out what the starting salary for court clerk is, and I believe it's 34,000.
34,
yes.
Five.
So that's obviously where she would have a new clerk would have to start. As far as reducing Tanya's pay, I would highly object to that because she's an extremely competent court clerk. I can't even think about, I mean, if she resigns or retires, I'm quitting. Because I'm not going to be there without her to man that office. But again, she needs backup, and we just don't have any backup. So anyway, we appreciate your consideration. And if there's anything else?
No, that's all I've got. And I appreciate you coming down to visit with us.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Are you all right?
Yes.
Okay, before we get off into the weeds, Matthew, you want to run over tax rate information, kind of some updates that you've got for us?
Yeah, got our certified rolls back from Chad. Certified pleas adjusted value this year is $4,073,696,019. The frozen property taxable value, which you have to convert in back into a taxable value, and I just used last year's tax rate. So taxable amounts with that added in is 4,661,858,068.35. And if we use that same tax rate as we did last year, we would be generating just south of 21 million, the 20,896,313 in property taxes. If you use that rate, cent of taxation will create $466,186 in revenue for the county. For each cent tax. Of course, that will be adjusted on whatever rate the board decides to set. Still working with Mr. Carruthers, giving him all the debt information. The only thing I like giving him is what the balance in the interest and sinking fund would be, which would, of course, offset some of the debt that he can determine our debt service rate. So we'll know that we'll have to pull that amount from whatever the court decides to settle tax rate at. So in essence, I guess you'd say, you know, that 44.524 cents is subject to change. But I think Mr. Crowder has lacked some other information before he can compute.
Okay. The appraisal district must have gotten a bad note from the comptroller's office or something. They certified rolls this early.
I hope they always do about the 1st of July, but I haven't been here that long. Sorry about
that. No. I think they're earlier this year than what would have seen in the past, but it's good. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. First thing I'd like to address, because we didn't really talk about it overall, is you know, what's kind of the court's priorities for FY26, both budgets, budget-wise, budgetary-wise, projects, considerations, capital improvements, investments. What are we looking at as being priorities for the year?
Maintenance. And I got some quotes on this building, on the roof, and I don't have those with me. And then right now I'm waiting on some quotes for some the broilers there at the jail to see what the, I haven't got those quotes back yet. So I'm kind of waiting on those to see. But
so how many roofs?
Well, that being said, guys, We do have some leaks here that, in the building, and but it, you know, in my opinion, we can maybe go another year and wait on this roof and talk about it next year. My opinion, my thought, up there and looked at it, you know, it's, yeah, there's 4 or 5 leaks on this roof. But one of the quotes, but I asked them because they have 2 layers of roofs on this thing. They have the asphalt roof and then the PTO. And what's, I've been telling them, figure the quotes with removing the asphalt roof, that's where it gets high. I got one put in $290,000 to put. I don't think it's necessary to take that asphalt off. I think we can take the old PTO roof off and put one back over, and it'll make it cheaper. And then we had that rain event this past weekend, and the new tax office received some flooding as well. I'm giving some quotes on it now, and I am addressing the roof. Got a contract signed on the roof for juvenile probation. And another thing that I'm getting quotes on is the south side wall on the where the 440 used to be, the FDA's office, is receiving some, when it rains, there's some cracks. I don't think that'll cost much to address because there is some flooding. And where old Judge Kennedy's old office was at, and in the Portland. You know, something too, you know, of course, you know, I might be jumping ahead, you know, if we ever do sell that property, you know, we're going to have another maintenance building built at some point in time, you know. But I'm kind of jumping around, but, but really, I'm roofs guys, this roof, and because the roof over there on the DA side, it already has the sloping roof. It's that's not what's called leak. The leaks are coming in from the walls, and so my opinion, the roof on the DA's office right now at this time is good. So, but those are the bigger projects. This one being the biggest one, and then of course the rollers at the jail. And I haven't got those torched back yet, but those are the two big projects that maintenance would be facing. But I will know a little bit better after I finish with juvenile probation. The tax office is actually smaller, and there may be money left in the maintenance budget this year to address that issue.
But we have addressed the annex in Cove, correct?
Yes, I got a contract on it, yes, sir.
Okay.
I've got all my quotes in. I've already got a contract signed with somebody and moving forward.
So you're looking at the Cove tax office?
Yes, sir.
Repairs to the annex wall here?
Yes, sir.
Jail boilers?
Yes.
Can this
and also judge the new tax office building in Cove? We have some pretty substantial flooding in it this past weekend.
Yeah, I thought of, did I not say Cove tax office?
Yeah, you may have. I may have misunderstood you.
Okay. Yeah. The okay.
And then something too that we need to talk about too is, I've got another one of these domes starting to leak over here at the courthouse. Guys, I know that we're trying to get a courthouse master plan. And the guy that, you know, I only received the one quote when we did the dome, and he had to come back several times to fix it. It was under warranty. He was pretty upset. That was on him, not us. And he did say, you know, if I do address another one, you know, I'm going to charge more. But that one on the south east side, it started to look pretty bad. And you know, I don't know how long this courthouse master plan is going to take. I know if we get it, we can go after some, you know, emergency funding. But you know, guys, it's a 127-year-old building, and I don't want to be the person saying, well, damn, you're over maintenance, you're not going to do anything about it, you know. But I want to bring the court's attention that there's some pretty good leaking in there as well. And we're out of warranty with our windows. That's something else I forgot. You know, there's some leaking within the windows of the courthouse. And we maintenance guys said they feel like they can address it, you know, but we're going to have to get a lift for them to do it. And I think those lift guys are like $8,500 a week to do it. And I don't know how long it's going to take them, but I mean, we also have some windows to address them. Because we are having some leaking in that building. And I don't really, you know, that's something we need to think about, because I don't want anything to happen to that courthouse on our watch. So that's really all on maintenance, kind of. Of course, I'm sure I'll think of something else, but that's, in my opinion, the main topics that we need to try to address.
That first dome, what did it cost us? About 50?
No, sir. We were maybe, it was under, we'd had to go out for RFP. It was 47 something, 48. And the last time he said, if I do another one, he's going to own 71. Because he had to come back a couple times. And in my opinion, he didn't let his stuff sit up there and cure long enough. But now it's good. Big rain we've had, that one holding up, doing good. And, you know, I know it's a lot of money too, guys, but, you know, at the courthouse, she's needing a little attention. And, you know, I definitely feel like we need to look at that as well.
All right. If we put off this roof, have we identified, or can we identify where there are leaks, and can it be patched?
It's the dome itself is wore out. It's leaking
through that. No, I'm talking about this building.
Oh, this building.
This building.
Yes, sir. I have a pretty good idea where they're at, because you can look and you'll see where there's a wet spot. But hell, that thing may run 20 foot before it starts dripping. But, you know, I can ask, you know, tell the guy, say, hey, you know, give your best quote, well, might be just patching this building. But I mean, like I said, I've talked to Mr. Carruthers, and he has some leaks on his side as well, you know. But we've had some pretty strange rain events these past 2 years, too, to guys, you know. And, you know, I know something too, you know, I might kind of get off topic here, but, you know, I was a little upset from TAC. You know, we got a $50,000 deductible, you know, and I always have to have insurance, but I didn't know if it would be, well, cost effective. Maybe drop some of these older buildings off and went another with another insurance. I don't know. I'm talking above my head. I don't know. But, man, we'll pay a lot of insurance, and we have a $50,000 deductible. And man, that roof at that juvenile probation roof, I don't see how they didn't completely. It's gone. I mean, the guys got up there and tried to patch it, and it's so bad that the parts that are walking on it, it started leaking in different places. So.
Yeah. All right. So I've got your, I think, at least a.
If I think something else, I'll come back and address it. I've got to know, but I think that, you know, I'd like to get some of these roofs addressed, because some of those leaks have called Mr. Basham other things in the wetland. So, and I don't blame them, because, you know, we had some computer get wet and carpets get wet, and, you know, but I understand the frustration too. Commissioner Taylor, I got his office. His office got wet this past weekend. So,
I didn't look on the same public.
I think your best bet on finding the leaks here is when it's raining. Maybe these guys need to pull the tile down and up there and look where it's coming from. They can crack it. There's plenty of room to move around up there.
Oh, yes, there is. Sheriff, I missed anything. You know, I know we've got the children, the air handlers. You know, obviously got that contract signed with Jacobs County. Yeah, you missing, am I missing anything you see coming down the
night of anything?
So.
Is your roof holding up?
So far, so good.
I mean, and I don't say that jokingly. I mean,
it is holding up. Don't say it. It's holding up. So,
okay.
Pastor, the other day with these flat roofs, you said a major rain event. You know, you get a 1 inch in a couple of hours is probably what happens when you get these, you know, 4 and 5 inches, it tunnels up and it's getting in places that it normally would. I don't even know if you're going to be able to replicate that under a normal rain event. I mean, it's
and so to not really measure this. And if something, you believe it or not, so when it starts in the middle of the week and then it happens,
yeah,
places,
yeah,
you know, because it can run 2 inches over there at the 0440 and it don't leak. But this weekend, the way the wind was blowing, it came in.
Good times. Other priorities from the court.
One of the things that I would like to let us discuss a little bit, Mr. Summers is not here, but I think that we're going to have enough money in the SB 22 that we can go out, because I know you got some quotes, I shared them with y'all, and I think it's like 96,000 in that threshold in September goes to 100. I would like to see us, if we have enough out of SB 22, get the radio just out of the way. And, you know, I don't know how y'all feel, but I just feel like, I know we got a lot of stuff to do in this budget, but might take a little off. If we get enough in SB 22, just go ahead and get them in the first of September.
I concur.
Does the I'll ask the sheriff, is a priority for funds that we may have available, or is the priority radios, or is the priority vehicles?
Well, the 90 something odd thousand that's left over in the Senate Bill 22 would knock the radios right off, and it wasn't. It's always been a priority, the radio communication, because we don't have radio communication with Copper's Cove. And we run a lot of joint operations with Cove PD, run a lot of joint operations with Gatesville PD, but there's two different radio systems. And the flooding event over the last couple of weeks, we have found that our radio comms are weakest in our operation. You know, handhelds, our guys doing evacuations last week would have to come completely out and get on the radio with the car way up on the street, and because they couldn't get through. But you know, after discussing the other day, talking about just taking, you know, there's almost an exact amount left in Senate Bill 22 that would pay for the radio part. I mean, 90,000 versus $500,000 worth of cars.
Well, I didn't say we've got $500,000 to buy for cars for this year. No, I was just saying that, you know, based off of those funds, is the priority radios versus vehicles? And you're saying it's.
I think the radio will be the first step, because you got to consider the safety factor. You know,
absolutely.
It's because if you got a deputy out there, like you're saying, on the rescue, and he starts down the river and he can't call nobody, then he's somebody that's going to go get.
No problem.
Yeah. So I mean, that to me, the radio, I think, is a no brainer.
Or goes out of there and, you know, well, with little anybody.
That's two different places. So, you know, we lined this out last time, but I'll say it again. Pretty simple to me. Use the 96,000 this year, get the radios. B-22 comes in next year, that's $500,000. We buy the vehicles, we're done. That simple. You know I'm vehemently opposed against ever using grant money to supplement salaries. I think we've got to get away from that. I think the grant money should be used for capital purchases. That's just me. It's very simple. We take care of both problems with, I'll say, other people's money, still our money too. And then we deal with everything else in the budget with the taxpayers. And I know we talked about trying to use some of the money left over from the, I'll address the elephant in the room too, and I've had some conversations.
Yeah, you mentioned it well. So.
We would love if this court, and I hate, I mean, we've got to make commitments and then we have to stick to our commitments. We commit to the SB22 to get those vehicles. Because of some of the other anomalies we've had this year with the rain events and everything, I think it would be very prudent if we could allow some of that, your excess to run over into the reserve for next year, which will give us a little bit of cushion for some other stuff. But again, as long as we, everybody agrees that that's what we should do with the SB22, because that's one of the weird things. We, this court controls the expenditures of SB22 money in the sheriff's office. Very clear. The court does. But we have to, I think we have to make a formality about it and say, this is what we're going to do and no going back.
But let's be clear, though, that there's no rollover with SB22 money. If
Correct.
We don't, if we don't expense it, right. Well, I thought I heard you say that it would carry over. Maybe I just misunderstood what you were saying.
No, I was saying the money in the prison board. We had talked about last year. They did a really good job of managing that we would look at the end of the year.
Yes.
About getting some vehicles.
Yeah.
I think it would be prudent because all you guys really care about is you get your vehicles. Right. I think it would be prudent, because our reserve has just been hammered by all these rain events and everything, to allow some of that at least to carry on. That's where I'm saying that does.
Okay.
Not in the SB.
Misunderstood you then, and I apologize for that because I was thinking that's what you were.
It's something I might be talking out there, guys, by any of y'all's problems. Can we discuss insurance? That's what we had yesterday.
Yeah, as far as budget.
Yeah.
Well,
my personal opinion, with me looking at that, and like I said, I'm not an insurance guru guy, and of course, I'm kind of a preacher habit. I do the same thing over and over. And I, from what I can tell, that Scott and White, on our employees' checks, they won't see a change. It'll be the same. And I feel the other two, they're going to see a little bit of money taken off their check, and that is a concern, man, because I mean, we're not even going to be talking about raises this year. So,
you got to also look for talking about that. You also got to look at the third one we talked to, where they're not paying anything to the doctor.
Yeah, but that's 120 days that we have to wait, which is not.
No.
It's all right.
The first 100.
The call waiver, which in 120 days, and then on the 121, you roll into a $5,000 deductible.
Then you're paid.
You make that call and do that interview with them within 120 days.
And who are we going to get ever, to schedule that to ever, make sure our employee makes
it,
that?
It's the employee does it.
It's their responsibility.
And they just said, they'll reach out to us. They'll get with department heads to kind of help coordinate that. And they said they'd provide us, lists that they're good about updating lists. And don't get me wrong. I'm not. We can't get into the point of where we're advocating one for another. But I'm just saying that just be very clear that there was one proposal that a part of that plan is you have an initial assessment baseline, what they're referring to, And then basically, there is no routine cost to the employee, period.
That's okay.
But when you take the $30,000 payback, it will not be affected their paycheck.
And I would say, look, because this is going to be, I mean, I'm sitting here in my head going, okay, evaluating this is going to be it's probably one of the hardest ones because there's so many working things. But when you're evaluating, you know, try the very best you can to figure the entire impact of on, yeah. And if you're concerned with the employee, of course, I'm concerned about the county, which we're having to pay also.
Sure, absolutely.
But also the employee. And when you factor in, I mean, if you just go to the doctor two times, three times a year, you probably made up more than that, you know, that money difference and not having to pay that $20, $30, $40 copay. So it's going to be very difficult. I'm going to try to work up, and I think I could share this if I worked up a kind of a spreadsheet comparative. Would that be something that I could?
You can share that with the court.
With the court, yeah. You know,
I mean, that's just your analysis.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in my head trying to go, okay, if this, then that, then this. And, you know, trying to get a better, you know, bottom line, what is the best deal for the county? What is the best deal for the employees? It's I thought a lot about it yesterday. Yeah, it's a good. I mean, it's a great problem to have. We have three very qualified plans.
In the game keep changing.
Yeah.
And we were told today.
Right.
And I mean, with that other policy.
Well, and don't forget, I'm starting to get this stuff. So you've got this RFP, right? And then we vote and we decide which one we want to enter into negotiations with first. We don't have to. So we enter into negotiations. Those negotiations fall apart. We can move to the second one. If those fall apart, we can move to the third one, right?
Yeah.
So it's not even, you know, set. But, you know, once we choose one, you know, then we can start negotiating with them a little more and try to sweeten the pot if we have to. I wouldn't take the first lick at it. But I think that was, yeah. I'm glad you asked that question. When you go to rate it, you got to really think about that.
A lot of reading. Not a slow reading.
It really, yeah, like I said, it just comes down to all that other stuff. It comes down to how the benefits line up. Expenditure benefits. And you feel, I think, on a nice comparative spreadsheet, because I'm having to bounce between the two. What's their charge per person? You know, and then if I get it all put on one, you know, spreadsheet, I'll probably work with. I've already asked Ms. Picard to help me with that. Because she's in it.
Well, my suggestion is we look at the needs of the jail or his city fleet. Even if we do something like putting money back for, you know, capital, or, you know, jail's going to continue to cost us money. We're going to continue to send inmates outside this county. We're going to have to come up with that solution. The expansion helped some, but it's still a problem. And if we started today, you know, it's going to be 3 to 5 before you're using it. So we're going to get too far behind if we don't plan. You know, originally, years and years ago, probably 13 now, they put back a 0.5 cent or something like that. Did for 1 year. And then lost those each property later on. No, but it really needs to be thought about that way. That way we don't go into, you know, all right, it's 31 million and we don't have anything to start with. Or whatever that number may be. So
So you're talking about just that set aside some seed money for starting the process of evaluation.
Because that, I mean, that's one of the largest costs that, or burden that hits the county. And there's no rate of return. I mean, there really isn't, you know, other than somebody's locked up. But there's, you know.
We could spend that rent money on mortgage payment.
Right, sure. And we've talked about it in the past and shared that. But we're not talking about building a road that's going to be there 7 or 8 years and then we're going to resurface it. Oh. Bless you.
Thank you.
I interrupt you, Thomas. I was in thought, and you done confused me now. But that's me. But no, we really do. We have to think about that for the future.
But if that would stay that half cent, if that half cent would stay there for 13 years.
Oh yeah. It's been huge.
You know, you'd be 3/4 away through with it already.
About the old shoulda, coulda, woulda, hindsight, all that. You know, I mean, it's great to look back. But I agree with you, you know, Commissioner. And it's another thing. I said it, I think, at the last budget workshop. Unless this entire court is 100% committed to the, you know, not specifically exactly what we're going to do, but if we're not committed that there is a need, you know, for a new jail. And I haven't wavered from that in, you know, the entire time I've been here. I know we need one. It's just the timing. It's the being able to get the public to understand the need and the financials. But if we don't, if we're not committed to it 100%, then it will fail.
But two key things that need to be addressed is one, and statutes do change based off of legislation. The statutes, the comptroller's office and the attorney general's office is very clear that we can't have a savings account for a jail. That there were some provisions in the past about restricting funds for a particular project, and we can't do that. So in that, I agree. I think this is one where you look at a big ticket item. I mean, I really do. I think that if we want to talk about a priority for this year is, moving forward with the master plan and some emergency funding there, but coming out of that, we will have an idea of what it would cost to, restore the courthouse. But in restoring the courthouse, then you have to look at future utilization. And so where do we, you know, have a new building, a new consolidated annex? And so then what does that building cost? And you tie all that to a new jail project. So instead of trying to piecemeal the little things, we hand it to the taxpayers. We say, you know, and maybe it is a 2 or 3 tiered option. Where they get to pick. And they can see the pricing and the utilization of it. But I also think it's prudent that, you know, we package that to let them see, because then you factor in, we don't gain any, I'm sorry, we gain no efficiencies other than we're not paying other counties when we build a jail. It's a necessary evil, but it's not a gain. It's going to be a cost. And then there's the building cost, and then there's the O&M cost, because we will have to staff it. There are some efficiencies that will come from an annex building, potentially selling or liquidating about 5 different properties, approximately. I mean, depending on how you set it up. So I think that does need to be a priority of the court for this year.
I understand that the legislature and the Attorney General's office have opinions on those savings, but all the research that I've done says that you can save for capital improvements, as such as large road projects, large building projects, as long as you dedicate that. Not that you have an overage that you're just setting aside as a reserve for one day. But there are methods of saving or dedicating funds for a project. I don't know all the steps to it, but it's something that we do need to look into.
Yeah, I think
so. And if I might, we're spending to the tune of $2.5 million a year out of that account. Going back to what Commissioner Matthews said, is there's no return. Well, the immediate effect that I would see is if we had a facility big enough to meet what is required of us by the commission and the ability to expand that at a smaller amount. Right now, if our payment didn't change, we're going to spend $20 million in the next 5 years, 6 years. How's that accounting? Well, if that $20 million was put toward a new facility in 20 years, that bleeding is going to stop. Where at the rate we're on right now, jails are just doubling what it costs to build one. Every 2 or 3 years, it's doubled. I think our last one was 60-something thousand. I can assure you it'll be 150 this time. Or million, excuse me. So my point is, instead of us rolling down the window and jumping $3 million out of here every year, we take and have that quarter mortgage payment that at the end of 20 years, that bleeding is stopped. Our taxpayers don't have to pay that. Right now, our taxpayers are paying $3 million for something there's no return. With that, would also increase our office. I don't know when the last time y'all come in, and I've got 5 or 6 people stuck in closets. The immediate need is with the sheriff's office. And of course, I'm going to spend here because I'm the sheriff, but that's, you're getting more bang for your buck than having another annex building.
I think we should do that exactly when we look at the whole picture. And so, you know, here we go. We're talking about it. That's a good thing. At least we're talking about it. Yeah, Commissioner Matthews, I think it'd be good to look into, because I don't think the idea is that we're going to save enough money to pay for a jail.
No.
The idea would be to have some seed money, if you will, to pay for those incidentals as we go along, you know, instead of, you know, I guess, you know, a line item that would say, we're going to have some feasibility studies done. We're going to have some things done once we get, you know, kind of going in that process. But I'm glad I heard that. I think this should be a absolute priority of this court, you know, not necessarily in this budget this year, unless it's setting a little money aside to take care of those, you know, studies and stuff like that, which a lot of it's been done, which I was not a part of. If we would say we built it out.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of all that's kind of been done. Yeah. Then we got to get serious. And like I think the judge said, put together something, have the public.
Series of town hall meetings.
Yeah.
Instead of just having one or two, have 4 or 5 where people can dream up questions and they're going to want to know, well, what, Mr. Taxman, what's that going to cost me? You know, and everybody be on the same sheet of music instead of fighting each other over.
Yeah, and I can tell you, well, there'll be a lot of stuff, and I agree. I think more smaller. You know, we should have one in, you know, the Jonesboro area. We should have one in the Ogilvie and Ebant and Copper's Cove, a couple, you know, and kind of have smaller ones, because I will tell you, when you go to like the city hall over there, that is so cold. That is so, people stand up on the stage, you can't even see, and interact with the crowd.
Well, and it would allow them, over the time, if they develop questions in Jonesboro, and the next one's in Copper Cove, when they show up in Copper Cove to answer the question.
Yeah, don't get wrong. I mean, once, if the court decides to move forward, then we've got to become PR people, if we believe in it.
Oh, transparency.
Yeah, we have to become PR, and we have to promote it, and we have to answer every single question and get them to come to the same conclusion that we've come to, is that it makes good fiscal sense, makes good community sense. It's those two. I'm excited. I'm ready. I think we need to really ramp up that. But that doesn't cost a whole lot this year. Yeah, that's more of a
Okay, does court have any other priorities?
I'd still like to see to get rid of all the unused property that we have. It's not making us any money, it'd be just an empty spot.
Well, I think, if you're going to get fortunate enough to sell that your hospital, though, we mentioned MR property, and we'd have some money to fix that over there at the DA's office, and also sell it to move juvenile probation in there and sell both of the properties over the courthouse. Get that back on tax roll.
I agree, Taylor. We've got some momentum going, so often. It's very common as any organization to sit around and beat ourselves up for the things we didn't do. But I'm very proud of that we were able to liquidate what we have in the this last year. Some of these little, the one across the street that was never going to be any value to the county. That was just a smart, wise move just to go ahead and sell that. I thought that was the other courts in the past have failed to do that. Well, I'm proud that we were able to do that. And I do think there's some more. I think you kind of identified which ones.
Yeah. But over at the old hospital there, it's going to probably cost us just a rough number, just say $100,000 for a new maintenance building. But you move it down here where the less value property's at, and it's closer to where everything's at, and we just sell everything that's over there.
Yeah.
It's going to cost some to sell some, but it would benefit the county in the long run. And I think putting all that back on the tax roll.
Well, I'm the same way you did it. Okay, I think it is. We sell the whole property. That's why
that property below that parking lot is the value is probably half of what they
own. Oh, there.
If that.
So,
we made a step. We got some of
that. Yeah, we're making steps, but we need to keep making steps.
Well, I talked to our person at work now, and she's there every working with.
And, patience is a virtue, unfortunately, when it comes to real estate.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are seeing it. I mean, you saw the city put out there all the different places that are looking to come in and expand and build, and we're going to have 23 coffee shops here before we know it.
There'll be no shortage on the cup. Or your car wash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of a sudden we didn't have we didn't have any of them. So I do think the people are going to continue to come into this town. They're looking to invest. And I know the first go round we had local people, that were probably trying to find a deal, trying to I think now you're going to get some outsiders are going to be looking at that prime, you know, that's prime commercial real estate, right?
But it's going to cost us some money up front, but in the long run, though, it's going to make us money. Like Commissioner Massey, you move, you're not a probation, and then you got, you free up two buildings that can be gone, or two locations.
And I think the square is even making a little, you know, it ebbs and flows. You know, we make a little comeback to people trying to put some stuff in there. Looks like there's some new stuff in, you know, moving in. So hopefully that square will really pick up. And then those become more valuable. I think we're on the right path on this. Judge, my 30-second notes that I wrote, and I don't want anybody to freak out. You know, when I first went into this, I said a hiring freeze, but meaning that we've got to be very, 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 I think, critical of any new additions, you know, this year. I use the term wage freeze. We got to be very, very judicious, I think, this year until we can get over this hurdle of, you know, the floods and, you know, the big raises that we handed out over the last 2 years. Use of the SB 22 money already covered. I know we talked to Road and Bridge about, you know, trucks and equipment. Certainly looking at the leasing of that versus a capital, you know, outlay of, you know, cash.
For trucks
and equipment. So I know that was a pretty big chunk of his. And if we can spread that out, I've always been, you know, debt adverse in my personal life, but there's times where I take on debt. So if it makes no sense, because you got to keep your cash, you got to keep your cash flow.
I don't know if the leasing of the trucks is a, I don't really like that ground, me personally.
It's a lease to purchase. Basically, we're financing them.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not, at least from what I understand in the past, we don't go through a leasing company where you have 20,000 miles at the end and, you know, that. No.
We did some, but no, you're talking about a purchase.
Yeah. It's a purchase, but we spread that purchase out over time and don't outlay all the money in this calendar year. Thing about that too is, you know, you could have a windfall next year, and then if it's the notice structure correctly, that's always keeping in the back of my mind about everything we go into, as long as it's at times and it's callable. Who knows? Maybe we'll get a benefactor sometime and drop $20 million on it. Maybe we'll at least get our one point whatever million from FEMA.
Yeah, you heard anything back from FEMA or anything?
Category A, which I don't remember the exact amount, but that was the burning of debris.
Yes, sir.
That is at Tatum. We're waiting for Tatum to cut us a check.
Hey, that's good news.
Category B, which was the emergency repairs. Again, I don't remember the exact amount off the top of my head. I think it was in the 70,000-80,000 range-ish. Is at FEMA, pending review. We were supposed to have a meeting with them, a phone call meeting with them yesterday morning. This may come as a surprise to you, but they canceled that phone call with us. Apparently they're dealing with another minor issue, somewhat south of here.
Yeah.
So I do not anticipate any, any rapid responses from them. I think we will still make progress. Road and Bridge has done a really good job of, repairing, and I think we've got those packaged in such a way that we're not going to hit, we're not going to cross over some spending thresholds. So we will continue to try to get those submitted and pushed on up. Where we may run into an issue is getting FEMA on board with our mitigation, submission of our mitigation applications on a couple of projects. It just is what it is. I mean, we had a lot of damage and we got a lot of attention from FEMA, but we didn't have loss of life and we didn't have loss of children's lives.
Amen.
And there, you know, we were blessed in that sense. So I will take, you know, some slowing down of the progress, because we didn't have to answer for loss of life. And then I don't know if you've watched any of the news reports, but FEMA has been, they've been getting beat up pretty badly over a lack of responsiveness into phone calls, mobilizing. Tatum's gotten drug into that a little bit. And that's why every little drop of rain that we get at this point, I have about a half dozen text messages and phone calls from Tatum asking what our status is and what is the update. You know, it's just the trickle down effect of they want to be able to respond. And so where we are with those funds coming in is I believe we will have at least one check under this fiscal year, potentially two, hopefully three, but the third and larger check, I don't think we'll probably hit until FY26.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask is, I guess, the impact on, you know what the impact was on our budget this year. And if we get those little funds, that'll be good, at least to offset some of that. But then, yeah, it'll be interesting because we've already been through all the expenditure. So then when we get the reimbursement, if it comes in 2026, then it'll be just, I mean, it's really just kind of a windfall at that point. But we're already past it. Am I thinking right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
But there's a couple of those low water crossings we need to address, even though they're on that list. Because
yeah.
There's some of them that are dead ends and there's no way for the people to get out.
Yeah.
And we can't wait, in my opinion, on that. Wait for FEMA to respond.
Do you think it's a... Yeah, because the one I've got in my precincts, I mean, it's bad. It's really not even, you know, safely passable. But I do believe everybody has roots around it. Kind of like the 1829, you know, closure. That's causing me a fit every time I have to go to, you know, the temple, but at least I have a way around it. Yeah, the dead end ones are the...
Not like they're all in your person.
Yeah, those are the two you have. And I know they went back in with concrete this last time, didn't they?
Not on those two.
Oh, not on those two? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That one's pretty hairy.
If it's a project that you think needs to be addressed under something other than a grant funding mechanism, we need to get it in the budget.
I'm working on it with Mr. Latham. We've already discussed it. We're working on it, but.
Because that is
went on a little vacation, so when he gets back, we'll finalize it. But and he has some of it in his budget already. But some
of the proposals redo crossings or talking bridges.
No, I think you can redo crossings.
You redo crossings is good, solid concrete. You know, they've come a long way in at least designing those now, where they're a lot.
Well, it would be more like the rail cars, you know, box.
Big box. Right, big box.
So, watch your nuts.
You know, I got two of them over on my side that anytime Coral Creek gets any kind of water, it runs over the road about a foot deep, but they stay.
Right.
They pour concrete on the downside edge of it for 3 or 4 feet, and it's not washing the road.
Yeah, I mean, the life we live is, that's fine. Get a couple of feet of water over, as long as it goes down, then you can get across it again.
Yeah, through. When it stops raining, it don't take it.
Yeah.
And this is at the head of Coryell Creek, where these are at. You can sit and watch them come up, and you can sit there long and you watch them go down.
I know, it's crazy. I mean,
and of course, the fire department, they would like that reporting system in a line item separate from their regular tent and hangar. And then, of course, Gary, our code, has got, they're kind of behind on some of theirs. Not behind, it's just they didn't purchase all the reporting system before. And they need to make up, it was $2,800. It's not a whole bunch of money, but they need to catch up.
Well, I talked with him, and the key part of that is a contract had been executed, and then that company was not going to go back and redo that contract for that additional stuff that they needed on there. So they either would like to have it all included, or they would like to get their payment separately so that they can purchase what they need if we're going to do that countywide. I believe those fire departments won with some reports. And I still would like to see their financial statements as well.
Well, certainly I'd like to see expenses against the money that's appropriated to them. That's all I want. I mean, I don't care what, if they get other monies in, I don't care what they do with it. But I do care what they do with the money that the county gives.
Yeah, just justification.
Yeah, well, it's easy.
No, I'm Jones heard that. There's not a half a cent moves out there unless the predator knows where
it's at. Yeah.
I will give you, I guarantee you that.
No, I'm.
I don't know anything about the other departments, but I promise you, Jones, yeah. You talk to one man and he can tell you wherever had feeding been.
Yeah. And I think that's certainly within our.
Oh yeah,
that's within our right to ask. Hey, what did you spend the money that we, you know, that it was appropriated to your department from the county?
Yeah.
Other than that, I kind of self invited myself, but I went to the chief's meeting the other night, and there was a lot, you know, said. But I did. I looked around the room, guys, and it really hit me, and even though I knew it. But this is a volunteer fire department. And those chiefs that volunteer, they have a lot of stuff that they have to do. I mean, they were talking about these NERIS reports and the first due reports, and they've got to get on. And I mean, every incident they have to fill out all this paperwork. And I'm going, wow, these guys do this, you know. Voluntarily.
And you got to take classes too.
Yeah. There's... But the really sad, and I think you could probably speak to this, I think it was the Oglesby Fire Department. They were like, you know, well, we're here. So it's basically right now they're down to the chief and the assistant chief. They don't have any other volunteers. And they are, I mean, every single department is struggling to, you know, get the younger generation to volunteer to be a volunteer fire department. And we can sit here and say, oh, we're going to appropriate this money and that money, but if they can't get people to fight the fires, then we don't have a volunteer fire department.
I know in Jonesboro, they try to get everybody, and they send them to the first responder medically to get them certified.
Yeah.
And the fire department pays for it. And that's usually at night when they have them classes. I think the last class was from 7 to 9 or 8 to 10, something like, you know, late at night.
So I was trying to think how, you know, we've invested in them. And it is I don't think there's anybody that would argue that volunteer fire department is a great investment for us, because if we had to go regular fire departments in all these communities, it would kill a lot of these little communities. So I was trying to rack my brain, how could we help promote and recruit, you know, help them to recruit some folks? I think some of the chiefs are better than the other. Some of the departments are better. I know Jonesboro does a pretty good job of, you know, keeping staffed. I don't know. I know at Oriel City, I know they do all right, but they struggle. I don't spend a lot of time at the other ones. I don't know. I mean, you know Ogilvy,
mm-hmm.
right? They're down to the two guys, basically.
And to be honest with you get Flat, Ogilvy, Oriel City, that's where 90% of the medical first responders calls come from.
Yeah.
Because like Hamilton County, they don't call Jonesboro out for medical. I mean, if you're on the side of the road having a heart attack, you're going to wait for an ambulance to come from the ambulance. But over there, you know, they're so far from Gatesville and so far from McGregor. If it wasn't for those few guys that are medically certified, the patients would be just, they're there. I mean, they have 3 or 4 a night most of the time. I think one of the ones that's on Oldsby, he's on flats too, so he's...
Yeah, he goes about the
pool. He's going back and forth.
Yeah. And I also looked around the room, and that you want your chiefs to be, you know, the gray-headed guys in the room, but many of them were very gray-headed.
And there's no, you know...
There's not the people behind. So I feel their... I really felt their... I felt their pain, you know, they're trying to do this, you know, good thing, and I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but it did... You know, we're investing money in them, and so I think we need to help them maybe, you know, get out there on our Facebooks and stuff and start trying to help with the recruiting part of it, because I would say I like what Brad Hunt said, you know, that he allows his folks that are, you know, volunteer, you know, working for the city, they don't have to go punch the clock out to go fight a fire. They trust them, and that's where it should be.
That's another thing I think we need to talk about is that request. The fire chief, etc.
Yeah.
Whatever other role they may feel.
Well, he was putting out as a fire marshal.
Fire marshal,
yeah. I don't know if you're going to find one if you want 25.
All right.
Honestly, don't think you'll find them.
So,
but we do need to discuss our half.
I think it sets a very contentious precedent if we were to enter into an agreement like that with the city of Gatesville, because you might as well get ready to enter into an agreement with the city of Oglesby as well as the city of Evan. I mean, really.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
I will tell you that, you know, I will be submitting as part of the budget an EMC position. And There is some of the, or some potential, or some of the things that I looked into previously was about, you know, the MC position being fire marshal qualified. Coppers Cove doesn't have to worry about it because they have a fire marshal on staff. They as part of their paid fire department, they have a paid position that's a fire marshal. But they don't investigate fires outside of the city limits. They have asked if, you know, if we have some interest in buying into that position and establish, you know, what those boundaries would be. But I'm pretty confident they're not going to, you know, have that available to us all across the county. So right now, our fire marshal on the north side of the county, really, well, everywhere outside of Coppers Cove, fire marshal investigation is through the state. And we get responded to and investigated based off the state schedule rather than our own.
And I don't have a clue how many investigations we have in a year.
There'd be something we'd need to run.
Yeah, is it one or is it 20? So
I don't know that the yeah. I think the person that would have that information would be Billy Layden, because my understanding is he's the one that submits the request to the state
to get somebody to come in.
Come in.
Okay. Yeah, my first thought on that, you know, requesting for us to help pay for a fire chief for the Gatesville, it didn't pass my first sniff test. I don't think that's our responsibility for a, you know, the Gatesville. I mean, we have fire chiefs. We contribute to those. You know, we contribute. I, if anything, then I would see we up our support through the giving them money for their support stuff, their equipment, their. I mean, you can probably tell us, you know, that just like the sheriff's office, you know, the vests have a life. You know, their firefighting equipment has a life. You know, got to constantly be refreshing. In fact, they were talking about one of the good things they're going to do is they've got some stuff that's expired, or if you will, and they've replaced it, and so they're going to probably send a lot of that down, you know, to the flood area, because at that point they don't care. You know, they don't care if it hasn't been certified in the last 6 weeks. You know, they just need stuff, and so they're going to pack up, you know, all their excess. But yeah, I don't know how we can justify paying. Certainly not 50%.
The number of investigations would be interesting to know.
Yeah.
That we don't have but one a year or two a year. A lot of money for investigation.
Yeah.
The challenge that Gatesville faces, and I think the county faces, and it was when Billy was here, you know, presenting their request, is he's been in that position since 72, 73, 74, and has become the de facto county fire chief. I mean, that's really what it's been, and that worked great as long as, you know, Billy was around. Now we're in a non-standard position where we're faced with addressing some challenges, some issues that we haven't had to address before. And the model that was set up under you know, just the volunteer system doesn't allow to backfill under the same manner that they've done this in the past. I don't know what the answer is. I know from our standpoint, from the county standpoint, we really have two options. Is we have a statutory requirement to provide emergency services in the unincorporated areas of the county. And we currently do that through the volunteer fire departments and through interlocal agreements with the city of Copper Cove. Our other option, the only other option that I am aware of, is emergency service districts. And that is where individuals that live in that district area would be taxed to support that emergency service district. And those are going to be very expensive. But I don't know. I mean, you know, in my discussions with City of Gatesville, you know, they're trying to work through, well, maybe if they have some paid positions and some are not paid positions, you know, well, then you've got, much like you said, you saw these are volunteers. So then you've got volunteers that are being asked to do the same thing that somebody who's paid is doing. And if those are paid positions, there are requirements that those individuals have to maintain. And so how do you blend those two?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's an, I mean, I don't know that it's ever been done. Well, successfully. I mean, but maybe I'm attempted. So what I get at is that I don't know what the answer is, but to partially fund in conjunction with the city of Gatesville a position, I am very leery of that. And then the second one is a new fire truck for city of Gatesville or Gatesville Volunteer Fire Department. And then ours would be, you know, our portion of that's $500,000-ish. I think that was right. Well, that's another penny on the tax rate.
Yeah. Seven sheriff's feet.
I thought that maybe somehow we could figure in if the county just purchased one brush truck and then figure out what department needed it, if we could do one a year and then figure out which department needed, and you replace one of their old trucks with a new one, and then they scratch their name off the pot, bowl, and then the next year, you figured out, I don't know how you would fairly do it other than maybe get all the chiefs together and let them decide what department would need the new truck. And they stick with brush trucks because that, I know we've got some departments that's got three or four tankers out in the middle of nowhere. And they come to us one time wanting money for a brush truck. Well, why do you need three tankers? Your 90% of your fires are gas fired.
I introduced that one of the chiefs we did this probably 3 years ago. They looked at me like I had three heads.
I said that it only makes sense, you know, just rotating around. But
just like any organization, I think everybody is aware of the politics that goes on within that own little.
They
just didn't know where to start.
You know,
yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, well, Keith, I investigated this when I first got on, and I understand why it was set up this way. Apparently, many, many, many courts ago, you know, the court would appropriate funds for the different, you know, volunteer fire departments. What they found was, if I'm advocating stronger for Coryell City because they're in my precinct and I'm fighting harder for them and I get more money appropriated to them. That's when it was created that we just created that line item. We give it to the fire chiefs and say, you guys divvy it up. That's up to y'all. And that's where I think we can't, we shouldn't. We really can't quibble over what they do with it. I hear it all. I mean, I hear it from them. Well, so-and-so got, you know, this and they're always getting that. And, you know, and I can say, we just appropriate money for you guys. Now, understanding what they're buying with it, that they're not, you know, buying a new couch for their, you know, their office or something. You know, other than that, I like the way we're somewhat distanced from making any decisions about who gets what. Because I'm going to fight very hard for the one that's in my precinct. Because guess what? If I have a fire, they're going to come see me.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out a way that is, I mean, it's not helping them. Well, I guess it is helping all of them, but then it's helping one department more than another. But they still, all we're doing is furnishing in the truck. And then they, amongst themselves, figure out which department is in dire need of, the dire's need.
Well, let's put a little bit of perspective to this, because I don't know that everybody is aware, so I want to make you aware. The funding source for the Gatesville Fire Department used to be the rodeo, where the current fire station is, used to be the rodeo arena. And it was the fireman's rodeo, and all of the volunteer firemen that I knew of, you know, worked the concession stand. So there was entry fees, there was concession stands, and probably lots of good stories to tell about cotton candy that Mr. Irwin can probably relate to you. So if you want to know about where the funding source historically was, they raised their own funds.
Yeah.
And the county was a supplement to it. So, yes, the county did buy vehicles, and there was a hand-me-down. Well, when the decision was made, and I don't know what the dynamics of it were, but when we closed down the arena and the county then built the complex out there, and I think the Gatesville Riding Club took over the rodeo and the rodeo arena. The majority funding source for the fire department was taken away. Now, I don't know what the transition of that was with the county, but, you know.
What kind of time frame would you recall? What year was that?
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
Late 80s?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, wow. Okay, good. Good education. I didn't know what that's.
So the county's had to absorb those, I mean, rightfully so, you know, but there was a reason that the county was able to buy vehicles and they got on a hand-me-down versus where we are now, writing one large check that's divvied up between all the departments.
A lot of the same virgin, they're just doing the brisket things and the pancakes and fish fries, yeah, et cetera, because they don't, you know. But.
Which, yeah, I mean, if it raises $2,000 or $3,000, it's probably pretty exciting.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
I've always wondered about those. You probably spend as much in the ingredients that you do. So, no, jokingly.
Yeah.
You know, and all the time and effort, you know, put into it. So, yeah, it would be nice to have a larger fundraiser that they can rely on. I imagine that was a pretty nice little gig. The rodeo. Mm-hmm.
You know, they
used to be real big, but I was a kid. It was
Why does Gatesville FD only have one full time employee?
They're not a paid fire department.
Yeah, they're still a volunteer.
I'm just curious.
That's it.
I don't understand. I mean,
population hasn't gotten lined up where they have to.
Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, you know, you can do one and you can get grants and start it, you know, and they'll pay for a person, but then you've got to absorb it the next year, then the next year, and then, you know, people, they're the biggest expense.
No, I was just curious.
Certainly, if you drove by them, you'd think they were a paid fire department.
Absolutely. That's yeah. why I never made sense of that. My past.
Right. You
know,
but they chose
between 10 and 15 employees.
And they chose
full-time employees.
The population has got to be a certain number for the pandemic to have a paid fire department.
Okay.
And from what I'm understanding, Gainesville is right under the door of that level. And it's been that way for several years.
Plus, a lot of our population are prison inmates, too.
Yeah. That's what bit them in the butt when they counted them. They counted them because it benefited them that 1 year or 12 years. But now it's biting them in the butt all the way down.
So we technically only have like 7 or 8,000 population?
Probably. I bet they're close to 15,000.
Or just on views now, but 34,000
inmate population is give or take, it fluctuates, but it's about 8,000. And what you have residing in the city limits of Gatesville is a population of about 8,000.
Right, 15, yeah, for a total of 15, I mean, 16.
Yes. And then you probably have another 4,000 living in the ETJ of Gatesville.
Does the prison system have their own fire team at all? No. But they would rely, wow.
They started it with trustees because they were citizen before Hood, but then it kind of, I guess their lack of manpower to secure the privilege, they shut it off.
So I guess, in my opinion, to bring it back to the budget, I would be in favor of one, certainly maintaining the contributions that we're making, separating the line item like we've done in the past. I think last year was the first year that we took it out of the top. And again, me knowing what these guys are struggling on a daily basis just to buy, you know, fresh coats and boots and hats and stuff.
Lots of grants they get from the board.
Oh, they do, but yeah.
But you got to have somebody to do the paperwork.
I mean, they had a guy there that, yes. I mean, every department, I believe, has a vehicle on order or through a grant right now, but there's been this gigantic, you know, bottleneck, if you will. And I mean, some of them in 4 or 5 years, just like, you know, typical, just like our FEMA.
I know what we've done out there. We'll go buy a used vehicle and put a flatbed on it. But matter of fact, we just got one that goes for replaced.
So yes, I would be certainly, you know, remaining at least the same, separating the line item. And then if we determine that, you know, they need support, I mean, I would, you know, entertain increasing that if we thought it would benefit the public. In other words, which was it? You know, if we went up even another 0.25% or something, just to, and then that would offset some of Gatesville's expense on having to hire their chief. I mean, really, it's Gatesville's chief. It's not the county chief. He is the Gatesville Fire Department chief. And then the chiefs then duly elect, I guess, their leader. At least that's the way it's always worked in the past. So I guess it wouldn't be a done deal even if they hired this guy that the chiefs would vote him as the head bottle washer.
Well, that again becomes the point of contention of how things have been done in the past versus what's the answer moving forward, because you're correct. He would be the fire chief for the city of Gatesville. But yet, Jonesboro is going to elect their own, and Turnersville is going to elect their own, and Evant's going to elect their own. And so now you have one that's a paid and the others are elected, and then you've got the Fire Chiefs Association. And who's in charge of the Fire Chiefs Association?
And it's always been.
Should be the president of the board. Should be.
But it's always been
invaded. I.
No, it is. That,
We're talking about funding the volunteer fire department. And I would tell you that most of you probably don't know that I was a professional firefighter before I was a police officer. And we had to deal with this stuff. And I would tell you that the way that we got around that was the county decided we're going to fund this amount for fires, right? And each fire department, each person was allotted a small amount of money for every training hour that they got. They were for uniforms and things of that nature. They were allowed so much money for each call that they went to. And each department got subsidized for each vehicle that they used on those fires. The reason they decided to do that was because you have these small departments that they don't respond to anything. That they
That's how it's set up here. It's area and coverage. And yeah, that's how it's set up.
I mean, I think that's the only fair way.
The chiefs have it set up that way.
Yeah. You go buy a truck, you know what? Jonesboro. Yeah, I know some of these small towns, right? You buy a truck for Jonesboro and they had 3 calls last year, Evan had 45 calls and they got nothing. So where's that fair? That's, I guess, would be my point.
Well, my point on the truck would be that the chiefs would get together and decide where the need was at.
Which they already, that's what they do. You know, they can take the money that we contribute to buy a truck. Last time I looked, there were zero stipulations that we really. I haven't looked at the interlocal agreement or whatever we have with them, but
we historically have allowed the Fire Chiefs Association to submit their recommendation for distribution of funds, and we have honored that.
Well, a lot of why they split it up at the college.
Yep, which is a whole other ball of wax that we all know about the 911 system and who responds to the calls and how it's toned out and let's just say there's some you know, if one department gets toned out before the other one and they make the call, then they get credit for it and they get more, you know, it's like a competition, you know, at that point.
And I don't know how that even came into play.
That's why I like kind of the way we do it. We're involved in it, but it's not our political, you know, battle to fight. If we don't like what they're doing with the money we contribute to them, then we don't do it. We continue to contribute to them, then we got to let them run their show.
Oh, yeah.
And we, I mean, I just like that we have to stay out of it because I don't want to get it caught between picking and choosing which department gets what. That's why, again, I kind of have a problem with paying a paid position for a department and not paying the other guys.
Sheriff, the real quick, short answer is that when the 911 system came about, Sheriff Kitchens didn't want to manage that on a full-scale basis. There were 2 PSAPs allocated to Coryell County, and so one went to the police department in Coppers Cove, and Gatesville PD said, yes, we will take the other one. That's really what it boils down to. It was just a decision by a local elected official. Okay, we'll.
There will be further conversations.
There will be further conversations. I mean, I'll have something to you know, present to you, but I don't think it's going to veer far from what we're currently doing.
I could go back to, you know, the maintenance and my esteemed colleague over here. I don't think sometimes fights hard enough for the money.
But
I mean, you've been willing to give money up, and just let me. My comment is, you know, just like a home, just like an automobile, have to maintain what you have. You may want a new vehicle, you may want a new house, but if you don't maintain what you have, it's going to fall apart. Huh. And I know a structure relies on two things, a foundation and a roof. Either one of those give out, structure
cracks. That's why I said this roof weighed more here, because this roof and the roof at the Terry's and Dr. Cole really the only two that haven't been addressed. I don't know the element, the CID roof hadn't been addressed.
Well, yes, it has been addressed.
Are these, I know we had termites, are these metal studs or wood studs?
I don't.
Throughout this building, it's common. Most commercial, I mean, I'm used to, you know, commercial construction. We use all metal, you know, studs and everything. Problem with any intrusion of water. If we have buildings that have stick built, man, the minute that water starts to come in, then your seals start to rot. Then your termites come in. Then your walls start to, you know, get into trouble. So all I was saying was, when we start talking about the maintenance side of the budget, we really, I mean, I've seen that we have a tendency to kind of go, well, we'll take care. You know, that's not good. You know, when we have water intrusion in any one of our ceilings, that's not good.
Well, the one that I would really like, and I don't have any quotes on it to look at, but, and yes, we do have an issue with here, but I mean, it's something that I should get maintenance guys to work on and patch it. You know, you're talking throughout the whole building, probably about 12 leaks.
Or if you don't mind, even call in a roofing company to do it.
Sure. I
mean, that's what I would do. I'd call in a roofing company. Well,
my maintenance guys is a roof. And, but the one that I get concerned about and worry about, and I don't have quotes on stuff, but that courthouse has some issues. Some leaking, you know, with that dome and some of the roofs being that are leaking. I mean, that's about, if I had to choose one that I feel like that I'm concerned about, it would be the courthouse. I mean, don't get me wrong, all the buildings need to be concerned, but the courthouse is the one that's been this every year. Our courthouse is the prettiest courthouse in the state of Texas. I want to make sure that we
top five.
So, courthouse. Of course, I mean, from those, I mean, with jail commission, no way they can be. That's why we're gathering these divorce.
You know why I make that comment? Mm-hmm. Because I've done that. I've neglected things in my life before. A leak that I thought, oh, it's not that bad.
What too, something else too, Commissioner, that I think that we're going in the right direction is that we're getting our burden off us by selling some of these properties. And you know, like the two properties that we're talking, you know, they've already had put new roofs on.
Right.
All those properties have new roofs put on.
But that is the other thing, too. I will tell you that, you know, anytime you go to sell a property and you have a good roof on it, that brings value. Absolutely brings value to that property. Swimming pools, not so much. Roofs.
What's left in the budget this year? I will be able to address one of the Cove juvenile probation will be addressed in the tax office.
Okay.
And then I'll leave this roof and then the brawlers and the stuff, especially in my opinion, the courthouse. With, I know we got a courthouse master plan, but I feel like there's some stuff that we need to take
action on. You keep saying that courthouse master plan, it hasn't been approved.
Oh, I know, that's what I'm saying.
We're two budget cycles away from hardly seeing anything on that.
I'm thinking that B is going to be one of the top priorities, just for the simple fact that you can't replace half the stuff that is going to ruin.
You know, it's as crazy as it sounds, and I don't know if it would fly when the, over in Mason, I think Mason County, when their courthouse burned down. You know, they put it to the citizens, you know, and they put a big fundraiser sign out there and had a little thermometer that showed, you know, donations. You know, if the citizens of Coryell County love and respect that courthouse as much as they like, then, you know, maybe the historical committee or historical foundation should do a fundraiser. And I'm talking about not just a bank sale. I mean, I'm talking about a full-blown get out there and try to raise, you know, 40, 50, 100,000. You'd be surprised. I mean, we've got
street dance, all 9 yards.
What?
Make a big festival out of
it. Yeah.
When When are you expecting to have the proposed budget ready, Judge?
Well, the next week.
Next week.
Yes. Probably what I haven't synced the best in the past is kind of getting a north-south on what does payroll look like? Because if you talk about the entries that go into the budget, every one of those salaries, all 200 and something people, is a significant endeavor. And it's not something that Mr. Wood and I are able to work on jointly. So he bears the brunt of that. Having an idea of what payroll is going to look like gets us to be able to focus on that. And I'm working some revenue numbers right now so that over the next few days, first part of the week, we should be able to have, it may not be a final draft, but we should be able to have something to present to you, I want to say next Tuesday afternoon. So I believe we do have a workshop scheduled after Commissioner's Court in the morning. I believe that's on the calendar.
What would adding that position down at Cole for the JP, what kind of number would that increase the payroll to?
$18,276.
Are you paying 19? I think it's 34 with gratitude or 16. I could remember.
Yeah, I mean,
and then throw in TT&L.
Yeah, well, there's fully burdened, right? Where I'm talking about just salary.
Yeah,
but then you got to figure in the benefit.
Yeah, right,
it's TT&L. And right now they've got
the root number is, I think, a part-time position pays. I'm trying not to be too. If I have the numbers correct, there's 16,224 is what that part-time position is scheduled for right now. I think, did you say 34 or 34.5?
34 was it?
34.
Okay.
34.
Okay.
34.5. Okay, so 34. So it's a little less than that then. It's in $17,000 delta, 17.5.
Not that big of a hit.
No.
It's actually about 33,000 more.
Yeah.
When you
include and I will tell you, I've been down there and I asked Tanya that one time. I said, how do you take vacation? Well, I really don't. And you know, Judge, one of the reasons she is, I mean, she's 21 years. That's a
she learned a lot of tired tomorrow.
Yeah, she's learned a lot of step raises and stuff. So I don't think there's anybody who would question the disparity in that pay. Yeah, it's not a bad. I just personally think they need it because I mean I've been down there and watched what she does and the lack of being able to take time off.
Bless you, man.
But they're here, the two biggies, right? Two biggies are Roden Bridge and Sheriff's Office. It always comes down to those two. All this other stuff, you know, is kind of the small stuff. Okay.
I'm going to ask, but very humbly and very sincerely, there's a lot of information on this sheet of paper. And especially when it starts breaking down the general revenue for the tax levy. You start looking at those numbers versus what is currently programmed for this year, as opposed to what we're going to be doing for FY26. It's very eye-opening. And then that, you know, again, we're not finalized with the debt rate as well. So take that into account as well. So when you start looking at what is general fund, what is road and bridge, capital improvement, volunteer fire departments, those numbers, and then what is budgeted for FY25, something's got to give. That's the long and the short of it. So with getting most of the requested items into the budget, that's when it starts to get the, but something's got to give. I mean, I don't know that if we took every request and we programmed it in, I don't know if we've looked at the voter approval rate at this point. And I'm not suggesting that, but I'm not saying, I'm saying that my gut feeling is if we tried to get everything into this budget that has been requested, we can't do it under the voter approval rate. So something has to give. Those are the talking points that I had for today.
Judge, I've got nothing.
Commissioner? Commissioner?
Okay.
Thank you for the feedback and the input. It was very valuable. Was to me. And that concludes the business of the court today. Just an alibi that... and I don't know if it's this Friday. I think it's this Friday evening. I'll double check on that. About Hill Country Transit is coming over to do a public meeting for the change in the services, the way the service model is. I'll double check on that. I don't want to say that, but I want to keep you informed of that, because if you want to come and listen to kind of what they're presenting and what this new utilization and how they plan on implementing it, you're certainly more than welcome to come to that meeting. It'll be good.
I'm at the very beginning of that.
Hill Country Transit District.
Oh, okay.
Meeting.
That was the only one.
It's coming up, and I want to make sure that y'all that I remind y'all about that. That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned.